For the second lecture of our conference today, I would like to call upon a very important figure here at the Islamic Dawah Academy, Maulana Yasin Karatele Sahib, who is from the first graduates of this institute. And mashallah, right from the time of his graduation, he has been serving the deen here at the Islamic Dawah Academy. He's also the Imam at Masjid al-Nur and a very close and trusted aide of our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah. Many of you are already aware of him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept his services for deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him from strength to strength. I request Maulana Yasin Sahib to come forward and enlighten us with his words of wisdom.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa wa ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatamil anbiya wa ala alihi al-asfiyai wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Faman zuhziha 'anil nar wa udkhila al-jannata faqad faz. وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم.
Dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, and very dear young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the season of Hajj has just passed and the month of Dhul Hijjah comes to an end. This ending of the month of Dhul Hijjah is the ending of a year in the Islamic calendar and the beginning of the month of Muharram is the beginning of a new year in the Islamic calendar. The year 1436 comes to an end and the year 1437 begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this ending of an Islamic year, in the ending of this month of Dhul Hijjah, and in the beginning of a new year, for a mu'min and a believer, this ending of a year and a beginning of a new year is not just a date. The significance that it holds in the life of a mu'min is not just the aspect that a year has passed and a new year has begun, a new date has begun. But the ending of an Islamic year and the beginning of a new Islamic year reminds us of a specific incident in the history of Islam. A specific incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beloved Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een. This beginning of a new year reminds us of the incident of the Hijrah and the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Madinatul Munawwara, from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. A very significant incident in the history of Islam. A very virtuous incident and a very virtuous deed of Hijrah within our deen of Islam. significant to this extent that in the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu consulted a few of his senior companions to have this discussion, that we do not have a set date. There is nothing to work upon, to decide matters according to talk about the previous matters. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with amongst his Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, decided from the various options that were discussed that the beginning of the Islamic calendar will begin from this incident of Hijrah. Because it was an outstanding incident in the history and in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The action of Hijrah was extremely virtuous. It was extremely significant. Because of the sacrifice that was demanded within this Hijrah, within this migration. The word Hijrah means to leave. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his nubuwah, after the first revelation, after announcing the deen of Islam to the people, he remained for 13 years in Makkatul Mukarramah. And these 13 years were full of trials and tribulations, hardships, difficulties. As Muslims, they went through physical, emotional, verbal forms of difficulties, and to tread the deen of Islam and to fulfill the command of Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became difficult. So finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must migrate towards Madinatul Munawwara. And the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in were also commanded that they must migrate towards Madinatul Munawwara for this one purpose and one reason, that by going there, they will be able to remove this inability of practicing deen. This obstacle, the obstacles that are in their way, that they cannot fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this obstacle will be removed by going to Madinatul Munawwara. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded this hijrah, meaning to leave Makkah and go to Madinah Munawwara. So this demanded a great sacrifice. It demanded the sacrifice of leaving one's homeland, to leave behind one's comforts, luxuries, to leave behind one's property, to leave behind one's family members who may not want to come along, to leave behind one's livelihood and sustenance. It was not an easy task. Even today, in this day and age, some people do hijrah for the sake of deen. They travel from one land to another land, one country to another country. They will know how hard this is. To leave behind one's homeland where a person was born, where a person grew up, where a person is settled in every aspect of life, and then for the sake of deen, to sacrifice all aspects of worldly comfort just for the sake of deen. For the sake of deen and the betterment of deen, it is a hard task. The sacrifice of leaving behind everything is hard. So much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, in the books of history and seerah, it comes that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night he migrated, the night of Hijrah, when he reached the outskirts in the vicinity of Makkatul Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned round and he looked back at Makkatul Mukarramah and he spoke to the city that, "O Makkah, you are the most beloved piece of land to me. If my people did not throw me out, I would have never left you." It demanded sacrifice. So hence the virtue, because of the sacrifice. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدَ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ, the one who leaves his home, مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, doing hijrah towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other objective. His objective is one. He has everything set in life. But the obstacle is only one, that he cannot practice deen. He cannot fulfill Allah's command. He cannot make his creator happy. So he's sacrificing all the worldly comforts for one sake, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. Then he is on his journey of hijrah. He has not yet reached the destination. So he could not actually fulfill the deed of hijrah. On his way there, he passes away. Death overtakes him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this action is so virtuous to Allah that Allah says even though he did not complete the hijrah, فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, he will be noted down as if he is a muhajir and he has done the hijrah. So hijrah and the concept of hijrah was set. Hijrah was carried out. And the reason of hijrah was also set in the minds of the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een. But some years after this hijrah took place, after the Fath Makkah and the liberation of Makkah, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah victorious, and Makkah came back into the control of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, approximately 8 years after the migration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions a statement in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam further defines hijrah again. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions that wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu an. The concept of hijrah was already set. Why the hijrah was done was already set. But 8 years later, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam Fatih Makkah takes place. So first of all, the first inability to practice deen was removed by going to Madinatul Munawwara. And now Makkah was also liberated. So any inability that existed there to practice deen, that was also removed. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying, wal muhajiru man hajara mana Allahu an. The muhajir is the one who leaves the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who leaves everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has refrained him from. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is defining the muhajir. Or he's giving an explanation of who a muhajir is. That muhajir is that person who has left the disobedience of Allah. He leaves everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has refrained him from. He does not engage in that. The commentators of the ahadith have mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing two groups of people here. One group of people were those who could not do this hijrah. They were not blessed with the hijrah, this migration to Madinah Munawwara, either because they only accepted Islam after the Fath Makkah, after the liberation of Makkah, or they were already Muslims before Fath Makkah, the liberation of Makkah, but their circumstances were such that they had been given permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were given a sharia permissibility not to migrate, because it was compulsory to migrate at that time. So they were not blessed with the opportunity of hijrah. So Rasulullah, the commentators of the ahadith say that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing that group of sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, that even though you did not have the ability to carry out this hijrah zahira, this apparent hijrah, this physical hijrah of moving from one land to another land, you still have the opportunity to do the hijrah batina, the spiritual hijrah, and that is leaving, not the land, but the leaving the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were deprived of that virtue, the physical virtue. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consoling them, that you can also get the reward of doing this hijrah batina. It may not equivalent to that hijrah, because that hijrah was very significant. But the hijrah batina, that leaving the disobedience of Allah. And the commentators of the hadith mentioned that the second group of people Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was addressing were those people, those sahaba kiram who had already migrated. They had done the hijrah zahira, the physical hijrah. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informing those sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in that you are blessed with this physical hijrah. And the physical hijrah holds great virtue. It holds great significance. But they were being addressed in this manner that if you have done the physical hijrah, and after doing the physical hijrah, you become complacent on the virtue and the significance of this hijrah, but do not engage in the hijrah batina. So somebody, for example, he leaves his homeland to go to another place for the sake of safeguarding his deen. And he goes to that homeland, he reaches Darul Salam, the place of safety, the place of Aman, Darul Aman. He reaches that place where there is now safety and ability to practice deen. But he goes there, And he is now able to practice deen, but he engages, his life is a life of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this context, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying that if somebody just becomes complacent on the hijrah zahira, the physical hijrah, then in reality he cannot be called a true mu'min, because this hijrah zahira is not fortified with the hijrah batina, the leaving of the disobedience of Allah. And this, my dear friends, this is a small point I would like to emphasize today in the few minutes I have remaining, that in our deen and in our sharia, in our Islam, our Allah and our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wish to teach us through the verses of the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this concept of refraining from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a specific objective and a specific deed in our life. A specific deed in our life. It is a specific objective to refrain from ma'asi, to refrain from the disobedience of Allah, to refrain from guna, to refrain from sin and refrain from vice. Amal can be there in our life, but with that, with the objective of amal and deeds, with the objective of itaat and obedience to Allah, there needs to be an objective of refraining from the disobedience of Allah. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, Fadl ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that on the farewell hajj, the hajjatul wada, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Ala ukhbirukum bil mu'mini wal muslimi wal mujahidi wal muhajir. Shall I inform you of who is a mu'min and a muslim and a muhajir and a mujahid? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentions, Al mu'minu man aminahu an-nas wa ala amwalihim wa anfusihim. والمسلم من سلم الناس من لسانه ويده والمجاهد من جاهد في طاعة الله والمهاجر من هجر الذنوب والخطايا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم says that a mu'min, who is a mu'min? A mu'min is the one from whom people's lives and people's wealth is safe. We already know what the definition of iman is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has explained to us what is iman. أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله. We know the tenets of iman. We have been taught by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is what iman. If you have these beliefs, then you are a mu'min. But here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying that a mu'min is the one from whom people's wealth and people's life are safe, indicating to us that if a person has the belief of what he is supposed to believe in, he is a mu'min. But then if he engages in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has violated the true quality of being a mu'min. So he is not worthy of being called a true mu'min in its sense. So disobedience of Allah deprives him of being called a true mu'min. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Wal muslimu man salima an-nasu min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim, a true Muslim is the one from whose hands and whose tongue people are safe. We know what Islam is. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained that to us also. أن تشهد لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة. We know that Islam is to carry out the actions, to carry out the amal which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory upon us, which Allah has guided us towards. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us the same concept here, that a person is a Muslim as long as he does the right deeds. But then if he violates, if he engages in the disobedience through his tongue or through his hands, he has violated the right of being a true Muslim. He has brought weakness in this Islam. So this Islam becomes weak because of the disobedience of Allah. Likewise, wal mujahidu man jahada fi ta'atillah. The definition of jihad has been explained in our sharia. The virtue of a mujahid has been explained in sharia. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further emphasizing that this mujahid is true in his jihad as long as with this, in the rest of his life, he also combats his nafs against the disobedience of Allah. If there is vice and sin, then he is not worthy of being called a true mujahid. Likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, wal muhajir, the muhajir is the one, man hajara dhunuba wal khataya. Hijrat has been fixed, the action of hijrah has been dictated by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The virtue is there, a great sacrifice, a great significance. But this muhajir, the one who does this physical hijrah, he is worthy of being called a muhajir when with this, after doing his hijrah, he remains firm on deen and takes out from his life the disobedience of Allah. If the hijrah batina is not there, then he is not in a position to be called a muhajir. Our sharia is teaching us this concept that the objective of the objective of the life of a mu'min, one of his objectives is refraining from the disobedience of Allah. And our respected Shaykh, Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Salim Durrat Sahib, Hafidhahullah, Damat Barakatum, he mentions on a number of occasions that the safest option for a mu'min is to make the greatest objective of his life the refraining from the disobedience of Allah. If that becomes your objective, that I refrain from the disobedience of Allah, then everything else falls in its place after that. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith, when, my dear friends, many a times we want to become religious. Today, our notion and understanding of religiousness, being religious, is very, very narrow-minded, very confined. Being religious to us means doing obedience, bringing rituals and ibadat into our life. So this is why many a times, if we have a sudden urge, a person comes to a program and he has an urge, I want to become religious from now. He goes for Hajj and Umrah and decides that now I want to remain religious. He goes out in the path of Allah, Dawat and Tabligh, he feels that now I want to become religious. He goes to the gatherings of the ulama and the mashaykh and comes out with this jazbah and desire, I want to become religious. We have all experienced this, my dear friends. When we sit down and define our religiousness, that what I am going to become religious, so what am I going to do? Tilawa will come on there. Salah will come onto the list. Spending in the path of Allah will come onto the list. Going out in the path of Allah will come to the list. Gaining knowledge will come onto the list. We will find that on this long list of intentions, when we have this phase of spirituality, on this long list of intentions, they are all the do's. We never note down on our list of becoming religious, there is never a don't. There is never that I will stop this sin. I will stop this sin. I will refrain from this sin. I will stop misusing this eye. I will stop misusing this ear. I will stop misusing this tongue. I will stop my income of haram wealth and using haram wealth. This never comes. So we only create for ourselves half the package. We only create for ourselves that aspect of deen. And this is why we go through phases. It only remains a phase. It only remains a phase because we have only intended to do half of the things. We are taking the medication and the supplements, but at the same time, we are poisoning ourselves with sins. Our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah very simply and beautifully explains to us this concept of deen, a'mal and sins in our life. Our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he's sitting here on numerous occasions as mentioned. If we imagine that this is this room, take this room, and it is the winter season, the heating is on full, all the windows are closed. And after some time, the room is extremely warm, heated. It is beneficial. The heat, because the heat is confined to this room. If after the room is heated up, you open one window, open another window, open a third window, fourth window, fifth window, slowly, slowly this heat will begin to leave from these windows. And regardless of how much you increase the power from the mains of the heat, you take it from 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20. Because these windows are open, this heat will continue to escape. Our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah beautifully and simply explains to us, when we do a'mal, when we do deeds, we begin to perform salah, we fast, we perform hajj, we do the tilawah of the Quran, we do tasbihat, we engage in dua, all these a'mal create spiritual heat. So there's some progress begins. But then, this window of the eye opens by engaging in the lustful glance. This doesn't change. This remains the way it is. Listening to music, this remains the way it is. The window of the ear is open. Our tongue engaged in filth, talking about others, backbiting. The window of the tongue is open. We walk towards ma'asi and disobedience of Allah. This window of our feet, legs, they are open. So all the spiritual heat that we are gaining into our system, into our lives, into our heart, through all of these windows it is escaping. This is why we do a'mal, but we find ourselves in the same place. We do not find any spiritual progress in our life. We do not find that we are spiritually progressing. This is why we have a phase and collapse. We have a phase and collapse. We have a phase and collapse. We always find ourselves picking ourselves up. Because we are only doing half the job because only half the job is important to us. We have never made pondering over our sins, my dear friends. We have not made this an objective of life. Let us go away from here today with this intention. That from today I will make it an objective of my life to ponder over sins. My dear friends, this pondering over sins, this thinking that what sins do I do, this pondering over how sinful am I, this is enough to put us our minds into perspective. This is enough for us to make us realize that I am not religious. our beard, our apparent clothing, our few amal and rituals of coming to the masjid for salah, these things beguile us, they fool us, making us feel that we are religious. Not realizing that this type of behavior, a person is in extreme danger because he will continue to feel religious until his last breath, only to realize when his eyes close and he goes into the hereafter. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. Rasulullah sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, shall I inform you who is the person at most lost? Is that person who did so much in this world thinking that I am gaining, not only to realize that when he goes in the hereafter, that all of that was just worldly effort. It had no effect in the hereafter. Let us ponder over our sins, my dear friends. Let us take our time and look at our sins. Our mashayikh and our elders, the Salafi Saleen, right from the time of the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala al-Majmain, till this very day and age. Our mashayikh till today, right from the Sahaba till today, teaches this concept of looking into our lives and pondering over our sins. Malik bin Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was once walking on the streets in the extreme cold weather, and he saw a young man who was at a standstill in a deep thought. And Malik Dinar rahmatullahi says that the strange thing was that it was extremely cold and he had flimsy clothing on, very simple, thin clothing. And at the same time, so he should have been shivering because of the cold. But at the same time, having thin clothing and the extreme cold, he was sweating. He was sweating from head to toe. So Malik Dinar rahmatullahi says, I stopped by him and I said to him, that, oh young man, I recognized him. I said, young man, what makes you stand still in this manner? You are sweating from head to toe, but yet it is freezing. And you are not even clothed properly. So the answer he gave to Malik Dinar was that, Ya Muallimi, O my Ustad, O my Elder, O my Senior, Asaytullah fi hadhal mawdha. I disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once at this point. So the thought of that has engrossed me in this condition. My dear friends, we pass those places where we sin again and again. We know that our surroundings are such, our home, that there are so many places in our homes where we have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at those places in our homes, do we ever feel remorse and regret? Why? No, we do not. Why? Because this sin is never an objective in our life. It is never given importance. If it was important in today's day and age, especially my young friends, come out of this lax attitude and this neglect. Come out of this neglect that it is okay. As Maulana mentioned, our respected Maulana Zaid have mentioned in the beginning, I am young and I will change later. I am young and I will change later. I will change my life later on. We need to come out of this slumber. We need to come out of this neglect. When will our life end? We never know. At what stage of life will we depart from this world? We never know. We need to take a sin seriously. I am not even saying that leave all your sins. I am just asking today, because I have full hope in the ta'limat of deen and the ta'limat of my shaykh, that if a person just takes this duty upon himself, that he takes it on a daily basis, he sits down and looks at his sins, lists his sins, a day will come very soon in his life that he will come out of the disobedience of Allah and he will live a life of nothing but the obedience of Allah. It is not possible, my dear friends. Looking at one's sins makes a person realize, even that mu'min with the smallest flame of iman, the slightest flame of iman, spark of iman in his heart, when he looks on and ponders over his sins upon sins upon sins, he has regret in his heart. He will desire some change. This is why our mashayikh tell us time and again, that engage in muhasabah. Engage in your daily account of your lives. Look at your life, that where do I stand in terms of obedience and disobedience. My dear friends, shaitan generally fools us and does not let us think about our sins. When we sometimes think about our deen, we can easily see our amal. Our respected Shaykh Abidahullah says on numerous occasions that if we just take in the example that when we leave our house and come to perform salah and then go back home, if we ponder after going home what we did, we can only think of our salah. Shaitan does not even remind us that on the way to salah, we cast a lustful glance. On the way back from salah, we cast a lustful glance. Inside the masjid, we missed our sunan and muakkada. Outside the masjid, we backbited someone. Shaitan doesn't even let us think of this. You can only realize your sin when you think about the sins. When you ponder over sins, when you actually make it an objective that I want to sit down and look at my life. I want to sit down and I want to look at what sins I have. And then we start looking at our sins, our disobedience of Allah. We will have regret, remorse in our heart. We will feel that we want to change. Then we look for the avenues of change. My dear friends, this life of just continuing and being happy on whatever little apparent we have, it is a very dangerous life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain once, that man al muflis, that who is the pauper, who is the bankrupt? So the Rasulullah, the Sahaba kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain replied, that the one who does not have the worldly assets, the dirham and the dinar. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no, the muflis of my ummah, the pauper of my ummah, is that person who did much amal, heaps and heaps of amal. I request you, my dear friends, in the light of this hadith, to go into the world of thoughts for a moment. Each person go into the world of thoughts and ask yourself, that do we fit into this hadith? That we do heaps and heaps of amal. And then he goes into the hereafter. And when he goes into the hereafter, he stands in the court of Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the one who is the pauper and the poor person of my ummah, the bankrupt of my ummah, is that person who lived a life of a'mal, not a life of just disobedience. That the man is mentioned in the ahadith that he did many a'mal, he did deeds upon deeds. So he goes into the hereafter with heaps of deeds. He stands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When his reckoning begins, there is a line of people standing there to take revenge for what the disobedience he did to them in the world. Somebody he backbite, a disobedience. How often do we think about backbiting and talking about somebody, talking ill of someone? How often do we think of this as a disobedience? How often do we, after doing it, ponder over it and realize this was a disobedience in my life? How easy do we become vulgar and we swear? How easily amongst our friend circle we talk of fahashi and filth? Do you ever think that this is also disobedience? This is all being noted down as disobedience. We swore at someone. How our young friends today, in every sentence of theirs, they swear at someone. How often do we think that this was a violation of the right of somebody, and it is noted down as a disobedience of Allah? So each person will come on the day of Qiyamah saying that, oh Allah, he did this to me. So Allah will command the angels that give him some of his reward. So he came with a heap of rewards, but now this reward is being distributed to all the people that are in line. First person, second person, third person, fourth person. The hadith says that the time will come that all these people will come and all his amal will end. All the rewards will end because of the distribution towards all these people. But the line of people claiming will still be there. Our respected Shaykh Hafidhullah, his father, I conclude on this. His respected father, Hazrat Hafiz Ibrahim Dorat Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah bless him in his grave. He mentions an amazing statement with regards to this hadith. He says that on the day of Qiyamah, we are so neglectful of guna in general, and especially disobedience with regards to the creation of Allah. We are so neglectful to this fact that we don't realize that on the day of Qiyamah, when this line begins, the first person will be enough to wipe away all of our deeds. And from the second person, we will be taking his burden, his guna, we will have to take into our account. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this is the pauper of my ummah. Why? Because the concept of looking at guna was just not there. My dear friends, let us take account of our lives. Let us on a daily basis look at our lives. Let us look at the good and the bad we do. Our mashayikh teachers, the ulama of the ummah teachers, the salaf as-salihin teachers, right from the time of sahaba kiram, ridwanullahi ta'ala ajma'in. Hasibu qabla an tuhasibu. Hazrat Umar says, take account of yourselves before that time comes in the hereafter. Take account of yourself, you realize that you are sinful. Once you realize that you are sinful now, you will turn to those people. You will turn for help. Then the request is, my dear friends, when you look at your sin, then according to the level of the sin, according to the gravity of the sin, according to the how delicate that sin is, refer to the ulama, the GPs of the ummah, the spiritual GPs. If your matter is slightly more delicate, then refer to the consultants of the ummah, the muftiyani kiram, the spiritual consultants. And your matter is so delicate that they cannot address it also, then go to the surgeons of the ummah, the mashayikh kiram. And get your matters addressed. In our worldly life, all our weaknesses, we get them addressed by the physicians, by the physical physicians. Likewise, with regards to our disobediences, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ulama kiram. Allah has given us the muftiyani idam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the mashayikh of the ummah. To turn towards, to take these disobediences there, and take assistance from them, and then live a life of disobedience. We ponder on our sins, we will see the sins. We will realize we are not religious. When we realize this, we will make effort to become religious. Once we become religious, then inshallah the success of this world and the hereafter will be at our feet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand whatever has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.